How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. We are just a couple of days away from a very, very busy weekend. There is a UFC show on Fight Pass. There is an NXT show on the WWE Network. WWE is running 4 straight nights with live programming. NXT, of course, is Saturday. Sunday is Survivor Series. Monday is Raw. And Tuesday is SmackDown. And the WWE has made an announcement that they are going to be doing things like this more often, starting with WrestleMania. We're going to tell you about that after the break. Last night was also the big show for Lucha Underground, where, yes, it is no longer a spoiler, Sexy Star is the new Lucha Underground champion. People have been talking about this for a year. It finally happened. I got almost no feedback whatsoever on it. So if you saw the show, what did you think? What did you think of the championship change? Sexy Star is the Lucha Underground champion. The show in general, NXT was also last night, the go-home show for the Saturday night takeover event from Toronto. Mickie James and Asuka, as well as a bunch of other matches, Joe and Nakamura. We can talk about that today. If you want to give us a call, toll-free, 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. Whatever's on your mind that pertains to discussions we're talking about here today. Stay on topic. Open lines are Fridays and Sundays, but there's a lot of stuff to talk about. It should be easy to stay on topic today. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. He is back today, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about with this big Survivor Series weekend. And this announcement, which is on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, having experimented with 3 straight nights of action at WrestleMania and SummerSlam, WWE will expand out their micro takeover plan for cities, starting with April's WrestleMania 33. After announcing that the 2017 Survivor Series would see 4 straight nights of WWE-owned action, Rovell, this is Darren Rovell of ESPN, reported Thursday that the 4-4 approach will expand out to all of their Big 4 events. This would mean NXT TakeOver on Saturday, WWE pay-per-view on Sunday, Raw on Monday, and SmackDown on Tuesday. How's that any different than what they're doing now? All in the same building?
Well,
it says the approach is designed to create more interest among bidding cities due to the potential economic impact 4 straight nights of WWE can bring. So where's SmackDown this coming Tuesday? Must not be in Toronto.
It might be in the surrounding area.
But can't be, otherwise this is a non-story.
Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, you get 2 cities that are very close together or something like that.
Well, this whole key is they're all going to be in the same city. 4 straight nights in the same city.
Well, I know that. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the same building yet, though, too, Brian.
No,
I mean,
it doesn't have to be in the same building.
The point of this thing is the travel package, which they are saying is going to range anywhere from $950 to, or I'm sorry, it ranged from $950 to about $5,900 for WrestleMania. Now, that obviously is going to be a little less expensive for some of the other shows, considering WrestleMania is the big key of the year. But I like this idea. It would be a much better idea in better economic times, both, you know, for the country and for the company. But this is a direction that I think they should have been going in quite some time ago. Number one, for the city or the surrounding area, in a case like Baltimore and Washington, where you could pull something like this off, cities that are close enough together where if you ran, say, WrestleMania in a Washington, D.C., and then ran Raw in Baltimore the next day and then had SmackDown close together, it would be, it's a great idea, you know, for the cities to take on a convention type of feel, get people people in for 4 days, lock them in, have the hotels, have things in the area, meet and greets and things like that that can help the city economically, as well as for people. If you're a hardcore enough fan where you're going to entertain one of these packages, odds are you're going to go probably to three of the shows at least anyway. You know, you may not go to SmackDown, which is going to also now lock you in for that too. So I like this idea. Again, this is a better idea in better times, both for people, economically as well, as well as for the company. But I still think this is a no-brainer as far as taking a next step. It may not work for all of them, but I think it's a great step to take.
All right, so SmackDown is in Ottawa. Thank you for Wild Talk Radio updating me on that. So that's the big difference. SmackDown will now be in the same city as the Big Four events. Listen, I'll give it a chance, but let me tell you something. And this is just me. And I'm somebody who has traveled to WrestleMania every year. I don't even know if I'm going to WrestleMania this year. I mean,
well,
there's a lot of reasons for that. Yeah. There's a lot of reasons. One of them is a baby, but I mean, WrestleMania to me was always like, that's the big show of the year. That's the one big show. Everything's taking place there. It's a big, giant weekend. Like, if you're a fan, you have to go. And now they're doing it four times a year. And I'm sure for the real hardcores, that's really cool. But I mean, I don't go to UFCs anymore either. When UFC had six pay-per-views a year, and there were certain really big ones that took place in Vegas, I would go. But now when you got 40-something events, it's like, I guess I could have gone to New York, but I really don't want to travel to New York. I don't know. It's a good idea. It's something to try. But I do think it's watering down the idea of WrestleMania as that one big event. I mean, really, Ed and all of these people that travel to the shows, are they really traveling in November to Survivor Series for four straight days?
No, but I do know what you're saying, but I don't think it's going to water anything down. I think WrestleMania is so far above and beyond everything else that when it comes to a wrestling fan's calendar, having other options isn't going to deter them from taking on WrestleMania. Now, when it gets to be November and you're looking at Survivor Series and looking at the holidays, and then you're looking at, well, after the holidays is Royal Rumble if I wanted to travel, that's the one that's going to get eaten up, I think. I think if you do some of these in bigger cities, which most of them are going to be in, I'm going to assume they're going to be in more convention type of cities that they pull things like that off on. It may be a little bit easier because you may be able to turn around and have slow packages and try to sell them locally. You know what I mean? You know, come out for the weekend, get a hotel room, and we're going to cut you this special deal. But when it comes to Survivor Series, that one is always going to hurt because of the timing of the event. And it's always an event that they seem to have their foot on the neck of anyway, as far as trying to choke it out and trying to change things with it to make it more of a destination event. Even though, frankly, as we've talked about when it comes to the Survivor Series this year, as in past years, it's their lack of interest in putting together a cohesive show, which is its biggest problem.
Here's the other issue, which could be a big issue. It's one thing for WrestleMania when people really do fly in from all over the world for the big show of the year, and they're all excited and they're just into a weekend of wrestling. But next November, when Survivor Series is going to be in Houston, if I recall correctly, I have it here, Houston, yes. Chronicle. It's going to be taking place. Survivor Series next year is at the Toyota Center, and it's going to be a marathon weekend where they will be doing TakeOver Saturday, Survivor Series, and then Raw and SmackDown all on successive nights in the same city. And that's great for WWE and their travel packages and making money, but let's think about these crowds by Monday and Tuesday night, all in the very same city. You're all drawing from the very same audience. You're going to have some fans who are going to try and go to all four events, and I can imagine a scenario where by Monday, and especially by Tuesday, they're dead. They're exhausted, and they're totally not into the show.
Hey, I definitely can see that for SmackDown on Tuesday. And look, and they're going to have to learn from their mistakes very quickly when it comes to these things, too, doing them quarterly the way that they are or around quarterly. What kind of bells and whistles are they going to add? When you have WrestleMania, you have the Hall of Fame. You have other shows taking place in the area you can draw from. Will WWE quietly invite shows like Evolve and things like that into the area to try to make it more of a draw for wrestling fans. There's going to be some interesting things that they're going to probably have to do, and some interesting bells and whistles they're going to have to add to some of these travel packages, at least the ones that are not WrestleMania, and maybe not even the Royal Rumble. That may be enough of a destination event, but SummerSlam coming at the timing of that and Survivor Series, we'll see.
Caller, you're on the air. We got about a minute. What's going on? He's gone. Good call. All right. We got a bunch of text messages here. Got a couple of comments on the Lucha Underground show last night. I got no feedback to this last night. None.
Oh. I got a little bit just because the Stardom girls were... I didn't get any. People were more interested in wondering what Jim was going to say about the proceedings, especially with Sexy Star winning, but I guess we'll see.
This person says, Lucha Underground is becoming Chikara West.
Jeez.
This person says,
I don't know about that.
Think Dario was going to lose his mind when his brother lost match. That's not a complete sentence, but I'm pretty sure that'll be a follow-up at some point. And...
I said Rusev wrote that one.
Dude, I don't get anything
else. Read it like Rusev.
Here.
Do it.
Dario Cueto should win... Non-wrestler, best non-wrestler this year and every year thereafter. Well, that I cannot argue with that.
Papa Hales.
It is amazing the absolute lack of feedback I have gotten to this. I thought it would be people angry or something. It's just nothing. Just nobody is emailing anything or texting or... I did get one tweet, but it was from somebody in Lucha Underground. That's it! So, whatever's on your mind, I want to hear. Did anybody care? What's going on?
Does anybody still watch Lucha Underground?
It did get 80,000 viewers last week. That's not good. Back in a moment with Dave, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. No Dave Meltzer. He is at a press event right now. May have him later in the show, may have him tomorrow. We will see. But in the meantime, we'll take your phone calls, emails, text messages, etc.
What's he doing press for? The overweight classic? Is that what he's doing press
for? Don't even get me going on this, Mike.
You know, did you explain to the people why I wasn't here yesterday?
You're being dad.
Oh, is that what you want to call it? Came out of work last night or early yesterday morning to find my gas tank wide open. And a bag of sugar in a diaper hanging out of it.
What are you talking about? What in the world does this have to do with anything?
Is this revenge for me questioning you and those pictures? Is that what it is?
Give me a break.
Josh Nason all of a sudden happens to be here. I happen to not be able to get home. This is something to be investigated. And hopefully Dave's doing the investigative work into that. I know he just got done the brand new Wrestling Observer newsletter, which is up for subscribers on the site right now. But hopefully that is what he is doing.
Give me a break. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air.
This is Jim from Virginia.
Hey!
Hey!
Hey! What's up, Jim?
You better believe it. I want to talk about Lucha Underground.
You better believe it.
Ah!
Tell me about Sexy Star.
She was really good. I have to admit, I've seen a lot of her matches that were crap, but I think she was really good last night. I thought the whole show was just crazy off the hook. The fans were, you know, just blowing the roof off of it and popping for all kind of stuff. And I especially like Mike was talking about. I especially loved when. Hojo and Shirai and Black Lotus came into the ring and worked over Pentagon Jr. and left him after, I guess it was a destroyer pile driver or something other.
Yeah.
And, I thought it was really, really good. The matches were just, it was just brutal. Beat the hell out of each other for 2 hours, and I thought I enjoyed the hell out of it, to be honest with you.
Now, Jim, let me ask you a question about the show. So,
okay.
I have not watched Lucha Underground yet. I'll watch it tonight. Thursday is my viewing night for Lucha Underground and NXT. Prior to the weekly Brian and Vinny show where we review these. Mm-hmm. Have you watched NXT yet?
I have not. I was going to watch it this afternoon. I had some other stuff to do, but I will watch it. I was thinking about that when I got calling you guys, and I was thinking about Mickie James and Asuka.
Well, somebody texted me here and says, Brian is going to have an absolute field day with this week's NXT. I have no idea what they're talking about. What happens on NXT this week that I'm going to field day with?
I don't know. Like I said, I haven't watched it yet. But it could. NXT, anything could happen.
Kieran, let me know what's going on this show that I'm going to have a field day with. I mean, how could it be? How could I have a field day with it more than Sexy Star winning the title on Lucha Underground and Matanza getting defeated? I mean, come on.
Oh, and then knocking the hell out of his brother. Now, that was hilarious.
Well, you know, sometimes you get what's coming to you.
And I had one guy came in. I didn't even know who he was. Some guy came in and saved Sexy Star. And I can't even remember the guy's name.
Was he farting? Because if he was, I know who that is.
Tell us about Mickey James.
Mickey James. Well, like I said, I think it'll be a great match on Saturday night. I can't see her taking the title.
You can't see it, huh?
No, unless she's got a deal where she's going to stay there for a while. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. If she's got a deal where she's going to stay in the promotion for a while, sure.
How about
but
that?
I just can't. Asuka is she's great. You know, she's one of the best, and it's going to be, I'm going to say right now, I'll take that, but it's a 50-50 shot. It could go either way.
Really? Wow. Well, listen, Jim, I want to thank you very much for the call. You heard it here first. Jim's giving it a 50-50 shot. Mickey James winning the title. And by the way, a lot of big matches at TakeOver. There's Joe and Nakamura, Mickey James and Asuka. Finals of the Dusty Rhodes Invitational. The Authors of Pain against TM61.
Well, at least I'm not making
those.
Paul.
I'm not making those teams up, by the way. That's the finals.
Hey, I swear to God, for anybody that has seen TM61... I swear, they stood out a lot more in Pro Wrestling Noah. That's all I'll say.
I'll take your word for it, dude, because they're two dudes in NXT.
Unfortunately.
And that may be giving them too much credit.
It might be.
They're two fellas in NXT. And there is a big difference. Now, on Sunday, they did Survivor Series, and we've been talking about various scenarios. And let's just put it this way. I have considered it a foregone conclusion that if the Cruiserweights go to SmackDown, then the Intercontinental title is going to Raw. And this has caused everyone's head to spin. Why does Raw need three singles titles? Why do we need a U.S. Intercontinental and a Universal title? Will they possibly do something where they merge the titles together? Now, they've already announced it's going to be Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens at the December pay-per-view. So I guess they could actually merge the Universal and the U.S. title, and not the U.S. and the Intercontinental title. That is a possibility. But do you want to know what another possibility is that I've never even thought about?
What's that?
But it was brought to my attention the other day. That the SmackDowns go to, or the Cruiserweights go to SmackDown, but the Intercontinental title doesn't go to Raw. It doesn't have to be a fair trade. Because right now, Raw has the Cruiserweights and SmackDown doesn't. And so you could just send the Cruiserweights and that title to SmackDown and not give anything to Raw in exchange. So the idea that we have to switch the Intercontinental title if the Cruiserweights go to SmackDown, that's not the case. You could have one happen, but not the other.
That's true. Hey,
and granted, think about this. There are three Raw versus SmackDown Survivor Series matches. And so I'd already figured that SmackDown was going to win the men's Survivor Series match, and the women and the tag Survivor Series matches would be won by Raw. And so if you did have Kalisto win the Cruiserweight title and take it to SmackDown, that does completely even it out. SmackDown won the Cruiserweights as well as the men's Survivor Series match, and Raw won the other two matches. That's 50-50. So maybe that is what they're going to do.
And they do love that sort of thing, so you could do that. Hey, maybe they do something post-show or something like that where they work a trade, because, too, would the cruiserweights, I don't know how many appearances now that if they do go over to Tuesday night, how many appearances they're going to get on the quote-unquote big show now that they have their own show after SmackDown airs, but we'll see. But you could have a situation, and I know the name that would be most popular, or the names would be The Miz and Maurice, do some sort of something after the fact where you could have somebody go over to Raw, because it wouldn't be going the other direction. Nobody's going to go from Raw to SmackDown, I wouldn't think. But, you know, people going from SmackDown to Raw, I don't know what excuse you would use. I could see that absolutely happening.
Person says, Lucha Underground last night was all right, but I feel, and maybe others agree, the match did not seem as big as it did the last 2 years, so in the end, it didn't feel like an important moment. I will say that while they did start a few weeks ago to build up Aztec Warfare, I don't feel like they did as good a job building it up as they did the last 2 years. I mean, honestly, I had forgotten about it until, like, last night when it was actually Krista Joseph tweeted me. And what happened was somebody was very happy that Sexy Star won the title. And he said, tell that to Brian Alvarez. Because I haven't seen it yet. Maybe it's awesome. And I said this, I responded in my tweet as well. Listen, I am a fair man. I thought that Jack Evans and Sexy Star was great. That's right there, a Sexy Star match that I thought was great. I thought all of her other matches sucked. And that's, I have the right to an opinion. Just like Chris DeJoseph has the right to think that my opinion of his show sucks. That's fine. We all have an opinion about it. And I will give my fair, unbiased opinion tonight because I cannot possibly care less. If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. I don't have stock in Lucha Underground. I don't have stock in WWE. I have no dog in any of these fights. if I think a show's good or a match is good, I'll tell you. And if I think it sucks, I'll tell you. And it's just my opinion. Nobody should get upset about it.
Well, I think the reason it didn't feel as big, too, is just the fact that there's less buzz behind the show than ever. You talked about the 80,000 people, but I think and there's many different reasons why the buzz is off, and the new baby smell has worn away from Lucha Underground, but just the fact that there's so little buzz for it right now, that's one of the reasons that nothing feels big about it, no matter how good it is, and that's nothing that Lucha Underground, there's nothing they can do about that besides, you know, try to degenerate some or have something happen where people snap back to attention again.
This person says, Lucha Underground has people getting their faces eaten and all kinds of weird stuff. I don't think people care all that much that a woman won their title. Well, that's not good. It's not good if nobody cares.
Well,
people should care.
Again, I don't think that, yeah, I mean, the fact that a woman won the title, I don't think that's why it should stand out compared to eating faces. Again, it's the buzz of the show. The tenor of the show is a completely different story, but I don't think that that's the reason that it's not carrying any buzz. It's just there's not a whole lot of attention on the product right now.
This person says, Aztec Warfare was great, but it would have been better if I didn't know the outcome months ago.
Well,
all Dave's fault.
Oh, stop.
Can you believe it? Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Not sure what it is, but we've been bombarded with text messages the last couple of days. Get to more of them in a moment, but this week marks the premiere of Supercard, a brand new shoot video series from producers Kayfabe Commentaries. In the spirit of their acclaimed series timeline, you'll be taken chronologically through a period in pro wrestling history. But the Supercard series will profile one historic pay-per-view per episode, re-experienced by one of the stars of that legendary Supercard being profiled. Premiere episode released this week stars King Kong Bundy and features his historical retelling of WrestleMania 2. Sean Oliver sits down with Bundy and they examine all the minutiae leading up to and through the historic card. Hear all about Hogan, Vince, the angle, the show, and everything and anything you ever wanted to know about this Supercard. Head to www.shootinterviews.com, that is shootinterviews.com, and re-experience pro wrestling's greatest nights in the new series, Supercard. And we've got quite the Supercard coming up this weekend with Survivor Series and Lucha Underground last night. This person is not a fan. He says, Lucha Underground is dumb. It was so good at one point, but it has jumped the shark so hard. It is a second-rate Chikara at best. Nothing against the workers, though.
Damn, this is a lot of...
Why is everyone so hard on Chikara?
Really, yeah.
Give me a break.
Damn, East Coast Lucha Underground, basically, is what somebody called it. Man.
No, they said Lucha Underground was West Coast Chikara.
Well, I know, but what does that mean for Chikara, then?
Oh, I see here. Somebody just texted me, drift away. Does that mean the Drifter is back on NXT tonight?
Oh, God, does he have sanity?
Too? Oh, you know what? I bet that is who it is, because I haven't seen the show yet, but last week they were teasing somebody would return, and they were teasing it was Finn Balor. I get it now.
I hope it's Alex Riley for your case.
Dude, he's gone.
I know.
He's looking for acting gigs.
Hey, right.
He's looking to be a raging teenager.
Sports broadcasting. Go follow your father. He was actually halfway decent when he started. Do that.
Tony says, should WWE think of making a WrestleMania-level NXT event as a main draw for when they take over a city quarterly, maybe making it the November show since Survivor Series has been weak the last few years? So basically he's saying there would be takeovers on all of the Big Four weekly or Big Four quarterly events on the weekend, the Saturday. But you'd have one that was like the NXT version of WrestleMania, and that would be on Survivor Series weekend.
Yes.
Not a bad idea at all.
No, do whatever you can to build those shows up. You're going to have to, and your first big test, again, Royal Rumble is probably going to be pretty good. That one's probably going to be pretty decent because for buying them for Christmas, there's ways I think you can do that and make it work for people. WrestleMania obviously is what it is. Now, SummerSlam, which has been a pretty good event, and basically when it was in L.A., seemed to turn into basically a three-day event anyway. We'll see what happens continuously here with Brooklyn. Obviously, they're going to have it's going to be focused upon heavily. But it is going to be a good first test to see what you're going to have to do for Survivor Series coming up in November when you do that one. So it'll be interesting, but this is the one you're going to have to throw all your efforts behind as far as any bells and whistles that you have. And then possibly, I don't know what exactly the deal is for a physical Hall of Fame. I guess as it gets closer to WrestleMania this year, because if they're going to do one, they should have one in Orlando, but they may want to have the idea of WrestleMania on or a Hall of Fame on tour where they have a lot of their old alumni comes in. They do a lot of that sort of stuff, and they maybe even build it into the show to try to put as much attention on it as possible.
I will address this very quickly and then move on. For those of you that have been following this Overweight Classic, I did get an email from the Overweight Classic Championship Committee. It says very quickly, "Dear Mr. Alvarez and Mr. Filthy," that would be Tom Lawler, "it has come to our attention that the 2016 Overweight Classic has fallen into disarray due to the alleged blatantly biased actions of both of you." It's not a complete sentence. "In light of this very serious situation, we have no choice but to disqualify Mr. Vincent Verhey from this tournament. Mr. Kane has been officially disqualified as well. They claim, by the way, I did not authorize that original disqualification, although a careful investigation of the situation has deemed that action warranted. So they believe that Filthy is guilty. Next week, we have assigned a completely unbiased arbiter to issue a final decision regarding the two finalists, Mr. Ortiz and Mr. Smash Master. His decision will stand. We guarantee a conclusion, and hopefully we can put this tournament and subsequent poor decision-making by Mr. Alvarez and Mr. Filthy behind us. Sincerely, the Overweight Classic Championship Committee." Now, I know that on Twitter, people have been speculating that the arbiter will be, for example, Granny. But it does say, I just noticed here, his decision will stand. So I think we have narrowed it down to the arbiter will be a male. Unless this is just a very badly written email from the championship committee. But that's what's going on, everyone. I'm very disgusted.
You should be. Look in the mirror. Drain the swamp around here is what we need to do with this type of behavior and decision making.
This person here says, "I haven't been able to listen this week, so you may have covered this, but what do you think The Undertaker's promo meant? Do you think you'll he'll be there. Anyway, you get the point of the email. I think The Undertaker is going to do occasional SmackDown appearances. I think he'll do occasional squash matches. I don't think he's going to be wrestling every week on the show. I don't think he's going to be appearing every week on the show. I don't think he's going to be doing house shows. But I have no... There's no reason... The Undertaker could have come back on Tuesday night, did his big ol' entrance, got in the ring, and said, you guys... He could have said everything he said without saying that he's going to be back digging graves. He could have just said, I've always been a SmackDown guy. This is a very important weekend, and you numbskulls better win this match or there's going to be hell to pay. He could have just said that, but he didn't. He went out of his way to say that he was back and WrestleMania no longer defined him, and he basically said he's going to be on SmackDown. So there's no reason to do that if he's not going to be on SmackDown. So I think you will see him here and there, but it's not like you're going to see him every week like James Ellsworth.
Hey, just if we see him four times a year, we should probably be happy about that. I'd be satisfied to see him, you know, two big shows is probably more than enough. You know, how many TVs he does or appears on after that, I don't know. But one of the good parts about The Undertaker and his character is he doesn't have to wrestle. You know, just his presence on the show, if you build around something with that, is probably going to be enough if done right.
This person here says, I'm not ripping on Chikara at all. Lucha Underground seems like an Attitude Era ripoff of Chikara. Well, one is definitely family-friendly, and one is not.
One's got Chuck Taylor, and one doesn't.
This person says,
that's true.
I was mocked when I complained about Goldberg squashing Rusev, and now he is doing jobs to big cast on house shows. What the hell is going on? Okay, I will continue to mock you, and I will say that Rusev will be fine, but there is an unwritten rule on house shows that the babyfaces win all the matches unless it is a heel champion. And then the heel champion usually wins via disqualification.
And then so sometimes gets beat up afterwards.
There is nothing to read into Big Cass beating Rusev on the house shows. The only time you can ever read into anything on house shows is if they did Rusev versus Big Cass and Rusev was winning, then you can read something into it. Because the babyfaces do not lose on house shows unless it's championship matches, for the most part. So, don't worry about Rusev.
And house shows, look, unless they're taping it and they're showing it for some reason on a broadcast, none of this matters. It didn't happen.
This person says, it feels like the Raw men have to win, since Undertaker said he's going after whoever blows it for Team SmackDown. Actually, he didn't really say that. He just said there'll be hell to pay if you guys don't win. And there won't be one guy that screws it up. For SmackDown to screw it up, all five guys have to be eliminated. That would mean that Undertaker would have to have five men on his hit list.
Ellsworth. Actually, there you go. You want to write Ellsworth off the show and not have anybody complain about it? Have the Undertaker kill him. Who's going
to
complain?
Mike, listen to me. I know you keep bringing that up.
What?
But James Ellsworth...
I haven't kept bringing it up.
You've brought it up on like three shows this week about writing off James Ellsworth.
How many shows have we done this week?
Well, it's Thursday and you missed one. That's other shows. But
okay,
listen,
fine.
James Ellsworth on his Facebook today, I believe, announced that he's no longer taking any indie bookings. Which means he's probably signed a full-time deal with WWE and he's not being written off anytime soon.
A made man, James Ellsworth.
Yeah, good for him.
I'll be damned. Look,
James Ellsworth, you know what? You know what's so funny? I'm going to tell you what's not only funny, it's hilarious. Dolph Ziggler lost the Intercontinental title to The Miz. Dolph Ziggler, they did all of these storylines. He put his career on the line. He gets the belt. Now he's already lost it. Dolph Ziggler goes out there and he just works so hard and he tries so hard. And granted, I mean, he tries too hard and he works too hard. And I think that may be part of his problem. But the guy works really, 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 really hard. And Vince has always said, you've got to reach for that brass ring. You've got to just go out there and take it. And I look at the roster up and down and Dolph Ziggler's and Cesaro's and all of these guys that they go out there and they just try so hard to grab that brass ring. And the reality is, it doesn't matter. Vince looks at Dolph Ziggler and he looks at Cesaro and he looks at probably 15 other guys I haven't even mentioned, Sami Zayn, and he just doesn't get it. And they can try as hard as they want, but they're never going to grab that brass ring. Meanwhile, this fella, James Ellsworth, he was a guy who was in the building and they needed a jobber for Braun Strowman. And this guy went out there and he hit it out of the park. He grabbed the brass ring, and now he's a full-time WWE superstar making big money because he did, not Ziggler, not Cesaro, not Sami Zayn, not 100 other guys. James Ellsworth was the guy that actually grabbed the brass ring. It's crazy.
Braun Strowman made a guy.
Shinsuke Nakamura is in NXT. Don't even make me rattle off the names again.
But Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke Nakamura now is on SmackDown. Did you tweet that out?
I did. I think I did.
Yeah, check it out on Mike's Twitter. Someone put James Ellsworth's face on Shinsuke Nakamura to make Shinsuke Nakamura. And quite frankly, it's a good look for the guy. He should grow his hair out and shave the sides.
You think he'll have that sort of charisma?
And dye it. Dude, he may. Look at how far he's come. He didn't get that. He didn't get where he is for his body or for his work. He literally got there because of his charisma.
What about the other guy in the tag team that he's in the indies of the Middle Atlantic? Because what is it? Pretty Ugly, I believe, is the name of the team. He was the pretty part of the team.
Oh,
what does
man.
Ugly think about this?
He's probably begging for a match with Braun Strowman is what he's doing. Back in a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Jim in Virginia texted here, tweeted, why wasn't Bayley involved in the Raw Women's Brawl on SmackDown Live? She was!
Yeah.
She showed up for a horseman beatdown, but then vanished. Because I guess they realized she has to be there, but this is ridiculous. So we'll throw her out there for a second, then she'll just disappear. And I also got this text, which is, I would go as far as to say brilliant. SmackDown loses on Sunday. AJ is responsible. Undertaker gets mad at AJ. Undertaker versus AJ for the title at the Royal Rumble, which needs to sell tickets. Undertaker wins. And then Undertaker and John Cena, where Cena attempts to win the title for the 16th time, is the WrestleMania main event. I added a couple things there, but that is a great idea.
It is, although that way the Undertaker's got to lose and John Cena's got to win at WrestleMania. That's interesting.
And with that, we're out of time, everybody. Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, we are here. And of course, if you want more, and in more, I mean 3 to 4. Actually, let me think about this. I usually do 2 to 3 shows a day. Sunday, I usually do 4. We got a total of about 15 to 20 radio shows every week for subscribers. If you're a fan of audio, it is the best wrestling website in the whole entire world. Commercial-free replays of Observer Live go up pretty much immediately for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. You get the Wrestling Observer newsletter, archives of the Observer newsletter. There are over 8,000 archived shows dating back to 2005. You can listen to them on your iPhone, your Android, whatever listening device. It's the best website in the world, so sign up today, WrestlingObserver.com. And we are out of here. Thanks, Mike, as always. All the folks at Sports Byline USA, we'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.